This morning, I am going to continue my leadership series. You are going to be in leadership if you stay in the Word, if you stay in the Lord. It is a prerequisite that you grow and become a leader. Period. You may be a leader of one, you may be a leader of 10, you may be a leader of 10,000. But it is required to grow in the things of God. It is required to take responsibility. It is required to become a person that leads by example. That when people see you, they see Jesus in you. That you become dependable. That you become transparent. Are you hearing me? Amen. That your mind becomes the mind of Christ. You better get this. Because if you don't grow, you will fall. There's a lot of people that are very self-centered and they want to do what they want to do. Well, check this out. I don't think Jesus wanted to go die on the cross. Amen? But He shed His blood for you. You were bought with a price. You are no longer your own. And these are harsh words for those of you that are into self-fulfillment, but I'm here telling you this is a leadership series. And I'm going to talk to you as if you already understand the fact that you are to be a leader. Because I said it is a fact. You may be a leader of one, you may be a leader of 10, you may be a leader of 1,000. But you are to be a leader. I am going to deal with the toughest subject in the church today. It's not murder. It's not drugs and violence. It's not even alcohol. It is sexual promiscuity. Amen? And I'm going to deal with leadership in a discipleship style format. Because you see, God wants to build an army, and this is the end that will be the army. Because the congregation as a whole will not live by these standards. Amen? But leadership must live by these standards. Are you getting it? And if you're wondering, the reason why I'm so hard on people in discipleship is because when you join, you might have thought you came over here to get your life right, but you join a ministry of Jesus Christ. This is not a job or a vocation. This is a ministry. And in a ministry, you must have God's standards, not your own. The world has no place in here. Amen? No place. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me tell you something. I believe in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And everything therein. I do not add to nor take away anything. I read what is written, and that is the truth. Unfortunately, the church body as a whole is very picky what they'll believe in, and as a consequence, the body of Christ has big gaping holes in it. And also, people do not walk in the power nor even get the healings that are available to them because they do not understand how they cut their own throats. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, if you have any leader that you know that is promiscuous, he is not a leader in Jesus. I want to be very clear on that right away. That he may be a brother. Brothers make mistakes. But a leader lives for Christ. Amen? And if you can't learn to keep your pants on, you are never going to be a leader. Man or woman. Amen? Is that pretty straightforward? How many people believe there might be some truth in that? You see, what you have to do is you have to make God your biggest thing in your life. And when we are to learn to love God with all of our heart, body, soul, mind, and strength. What does that mean? You make God your everything. And if God becomes your everything, you aren't going to give Him up like a street chump. You're going to put Him above everything else in your life. win always. Once you get them to that place, you must stay in communion with them. You must stay in fellowship with them. You must stay in the Word, and you must do these things for you to stay at that place. The day you forget that discipline to pray, the day you forget that you shouldn't hang around with people that don't have God as their top, is the day that you're going to start to fall. I'm going to tell you that you better make sure your friends are godly. Why? So that when you're weak, they'll pray for you and help you to be strong. Now, I have a lot of acquaintances that are not godly, and I stand there in the gap for them, lifting up God's standards and tell them, you can be this thing. Amen? If God can turn me around, He can turn anybody around. But I'm going to tell you this right now, that if you're into self-gratification, then you cannot be a leader. And one of the biggest things that everybody say, I am everybody. This is for you. You get that? You have got to learn control in your life, especially in this area. I'm going to tell you what. Nobody is ever going to listen to you about the Lord if you live in sin continuously. If you go to the bar and you drink, they're going to say, do Christians drink? If you smoke cigarettes, they're going to say, I didn't know Christians smoked. How come is it the world knows more about Christians than the people that claim to be one? A leader must hold up the standard of God. You that talk too much incessantly must learn to be a listener first and a talker second. There are some people to this day, every time I am around, they can't be quiet. How are you ever going to listen to people if you yourself won't ever quit talking? Father, I just ask today as we touch this tough subject that God, each person recognize I am not assaulting them, God. What I am doing is trying to teach them the truth to align them with You that Your glory might be in their life, God. That God, Your biggest and best rewards are yet to come in our life if we will submit our life unto You wholly, God. God, it is not easy. But it is good. But this is one thing that we must get over in our life if we are going to have a good life in You. In Jesus' name I pray for everybody here that their ears be opened and their mind receiving this morning and that You take the calluses off their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. There are so many people I've seen in my life that I see God ordained potential in them. That they absolutely are on the path to greatness in God. You can see every bit, every piece, and every part. And a girl or a guy will come along and they're out the car. They think it's okay, but they have just now devastated their future in Christ. There have been so many potential leaders that were absolutely on track, and he or she came by and fluttered, batted her eyes, or he flexed his muscles, and they were out of the church. I'm here to tell you today that this is the most common downfall to all people that are a member of the church body today. It is not drugs. It is not alcohol. It is lust of the flesh in the sexual form. There are people that for years and years and years they do right, and then one day, because they forget to keep God number one in their life, they fall, and when they fall, they go all the way down. This is the biggest problem each of us is going to face in our life, irregardless how great a man or woman you really think you are. You must never give in to this. Never. If you want to do great things for God. Can God forgive a mistake? Yes. I'm not telling you that you can't overcome your past. But I'm telling you that when you fall into this, you are defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit and you will start all over again. There is nobody that has fallen, that has once been a preacher, that I know of, that have ever obtained once again the standard that they had before. Not one! And they had greatness! And they had a wonderful ministry! And they were on top! But because of that mistake, they went to the bottom and they never again soared like an eagle. If you want everything that God has to give you, you must learn the truth. You cannot couple yourself to somebody that is not your wife or husband. You cannot. And expect the blessings and the power of God in your life. Because you just got done defiling His holy temple. Read about it. Read what happened to the people that defiled the temple of God in the Old Testament. Think about the fact that you have been bought with the price, the bloodshed price of Jesus Christ. Think about the fact that God gave His one Son, Jesus, the only Son He had, Jesus, for you. Shed His blood. You were bought with that price. And it was the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that this is one of the hardest issues for me to preach and teach on. And yet, I cannot be like the church. Do you understand? I have got to be a believer in the inspired Word of God, regardless what a church practices. I was not called to have horizontal vision. I was called to have vertical vision. There is a difference. The standards of men is far beneath the standards of God. And always has been and always will be. That is why you must search out the Word and find out the truth that it has and live by it no matter what you see in your life. On this campus, right here today, there are people that live in sexual promiscuity. We can be real, amen? We're a church, and these things happen in a church. But it does not make it okay, ever. It means that they are babes and do not understand. But you that sit in this room will be taught to understand the truth. If you want to take and fulfill your destiny in God, one of the first things you need to learn to do is keep your stinking pants on. And I can't be any more blunt than that. I'm not here to pet you. You understand? I'm here to inspire and direct you. I'm going to tell you right now that if you can't do that, you're never going to be a leader. And if you can't be a leader, you're never going to fulfill your destiny. Amen? Okay, help me God. This is a hard subject, Lord. It's a short chapter, but it says a lot. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Sexual immorality is not new. Homosexuality is not new. Promiscuousness is not new. It is as old as man himself. People without Jesus are totally perverted in everything in their life. They are in bondage to their flesh because the Spirit of the Lord is not yet alive. And it says in verse 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. I am going to speak some harsh truths today. They're harsh, but they are still the truth. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. I don't know who it was, I don't care who it was, but I'm here to tell you that I can read this line and know in myself it is not right. Amen? And the Holy Spirit convicts you of those things that you are knowing are not right. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my Spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What is it saying? Cast him out. Did you get that? Why? Because it is better for him to be put back into the world where he recognizes the wrong of what he's doing so that he will repent than you to allow him amongst your membership like it's okay because you want to be a nice guy. Are you hearing this? And it is written just the way it's supposed to be. Let me go on. It says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? What he's saying is everybody's just going along like everything's okay. You hear me? They're kind of ignoring this thing. And he's telling them that you cannot be glorying to God in this situation when you have leaven in the midst of it because it is poisoning your body. If you have a cancer in your body and you do not cut it out and or treat it, what happens to the cancer? Spreads. And if you do not look at this thing and tell the truth about it and confront it, it will spread. You see, you got to praise God that I'm not in charge of this campus. Because if I was, I would, and I did when I first got here, throw out person after person after person after person that would not live for God. When I first got here, I threw out probably 100+ people. They were making babies in the buses. Well, could have been other places. But I'm telling you that that was a necessary thing to get rid of the trash in this place so that the Spirit of God might reign once again here. Are you hearing me today? Is this a tough subject? Because all of you know somebody that lives in sexual sin. And I'm telling you, that if they are not believers, that is one thing. But if they are believers, that indeed is something else. Let me go on. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven. What does that mean? Cast it out. It is reiterated for the second time. You must cut out that poison that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Are you following me? Are you understanding? This is the Word of God. Dominic didn't write this chapter. Amen. I didn't write nothing in this book. There is nothing in here that's an epistle according to Dominic. There's nothing in here that's the gospel according to Dominic. Are you understanding? This is the Word of God. And I told you when I started, I believe the Word of God, not church doctrine, not pastoral preferences. I believe the Word of God above all things. I will stand, live, and die on the Word of God. Why? Because I believe that He is right and everybody else is wrong. He's God. No man can supersede God. No church body can supersede God. God is sovereign. God is always right. I know it hurts your toes, your ears, and your hearts to hear this. I know it does, but I can't help that. You need to know the truth. I am supposed to preach and teach the Word of God in season and out, whether it hurts people or not, because the truth is always the truth, and you need to know it. A lot of people will never read this chapter because they don't want to hear what it says. And yet, this is the one thing that tears down the church more than anything else. It is sexual promiscuity within the church body. In verse 8 it says, therefore, let us keep the peace, not with old leaven like we used to be. Amen. Praise the Lord, we've been born again. Praise the Lord, all old things have passed away. All things become new. You're not in judgment for what was before. Amen. But you are to live like the new. Nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. I'm not mad at anybody that does these things. I'm not hateful about it. I tell the truth. Amen? And witness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When I tell people this, I just tell them, this is what it says. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. What does that mean? They're not to be your friends. I said they're not to be your friends. What does that mean? If you have a brother or sister in Christ that lives like this, they are not to be your friends. It even goes into a little bigger piece here. It says, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. What it's saying is I am not talking to the people or about the people that do not know God. This is in concern to those who claim to know God. Amen. This is written for those that know the Lord. And the people he's talking about are those that claim to know the Lord, but do not act in accordance with the Lord. Are you getting that? Because otherwise we'd never lead anybody to God. Because that is a worldliness that is all around the world. It's talking about people that say they know God. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. Not to keep company. Don't go hang out with. Don't go to their house. Who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a partier. You are not to keep any kind of relationship with those people that act in this way. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. You are not to break bread. Go out to breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Meet them at a movie. I didn't write this. Are you hearing me? This is a teaching that is hard to accept, but it is the truth. I know a lot of people are calling me names inside, but keep them inside and recognize I'm just doing my job, which is teaching the truth of the Lord. Now this is the New Testament. This is Jesus has died. Don't stink and blame me. Everybody wants to sit there and go, well, what about grace and mercy? Grace and mercy was at the cross. We got it. Amen? If you say you received it, you're supposed to operate in it, not choose your own rules. Are you clear on this issue? I said it just right. I said, if you got it already, you're supposed to operate in it, not pick and choose your rules. Everybody said amen. It says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? It says, I have nothing to do with judging the world. God will judge the world. Amen? But it says, do you not judge those who are inside? Isn't it your job to be your brother's keeper? Those of you that stick your head in the sand when things are going on that you know are going on and will not confront it because you are a wimp for Christ? I did not join a ministry that is called Wimps for Christ. I have never yet read anything in the Bible that told me that I am to turn my head away from people that are knowingly sinning. I am to bring instruction, reproof, and correction in love. In every occasion. Why? Because you cast them out so that Satan will destroy their flesh in order that the Spirit of God might reign again in their life. You let them know it is not okay so that they do feel isolated and outside so they will recognize their sin and be purged from it so that they might be like that one in the Bible that came back. Do you know who that was? Who was it? The prodigal son. Amen? But those who are outside, God judges. Amen? Therefore, put away from yourselves that evil person. What does put away from? You see, leadership is not a joke. Leadership means you take ownership of what God has given you and you protect it in every way. You know, you must have a testimony and your testimony must be true and proven in every situation. You must always stand for God and the things of God. A leader must be willing to always stand for God, whether it is popular or not. I had a guy that was with me for a while, and he couldn't keep his pants on. And, you know, of course, he didn't play that with me because I threw him out. Well, you know I would, and I will today. And those of you that got girlfriends outside, if I even get a hint of anything, you're out of here. So why don't you go home now, if that's your choice? You hear me? I will not have leaven in this loaf. I will not knowingly allow sin in this body. Because this body is frontline truth. We go into hell and back to bring people out. And I can't have a weak link. I had a guy that was with me for a while, and it's like I said, he couldn't keep his pants on. So he was gone, and of course he was practicing what he always practiced, making babies out of wedlock. And he came to me one day, and he comes up to me, and he's always inviting me to go to breakfast, lunch, dinner, do this with him, do that with him. I'll pay even. I like that part. And one day he came up to me, he says, Dominic, he says, I know you love me, because I do love him. You understand? That's not the point. It's because I love him, I treat him the way I do. If I didn't love him, I'd just say, hey, it's okay, go to hell. And he says, how come you won't go to lunch with me? How come you won't go to the movies with us? How come you won't go to dinner with us? I told him, I said, go home. You know I'm a teacher of the word. You know I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he goes, okay. And the next time I seen him, he was livid. He was mad. He was angry. He called me everything but a white man. And I sat there like this. And when he got done and he was over it, I told him, you see, brother, the Bible says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I said, then now you know the truth. If you don't change your wicked ways, you aren't going to go where you think you have a right to go right now. You see, if I wouldn't have made a stand, and by the way, he got married. Amen. If I wouldn't have made a stand and did the Word of God thing, he might have always thought it was an okay thing. But what if, in the midst of his sin, he'd have walked out in front of a truck and his wife was over right then? What do you think? You see, people, you don't have the right to let other people go to hell around you because of your cowardice. You don't have the right to let people go to hell around you because of your lack of, I don't want to get involved. You are involved! If you know the truth, and you have a brother that is willingly and knowingly sinning, then you need to live that biblical lifestyle in order that you might help to bring correction, instruction, and reproof into their life. If you tell me that you love your brother, and the Bible says, by the way, if you can't love your brother, you can't say you love God. And if you love somebody, certainly you're not going to let them or watch them do whatever they do that ends them up in the pit of hell. Certainly you are going to confront that issue. Yesterday I taught on Matthew 18. That is a legitimate teaching that goes right alongside of what I am speaking to you today. And if you're going to be a leader, and you must, then you have to start operating in the authority of the Word of God in everything you do in your life. I'm telling you, people, that the biggest problem in the church today is not sex, is not drugs and alcohol. It is not just liars, cheaters, and murderers and thieves. It is sexual promiscuity. And it must be addressed if you are a leader. I'm not telling you easy. I haven't seen a smile on anybody's face hardly since I started. Why? Remember this. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Amen. Don't take this as a personal assault. I am not assaulting you. I am bringing you a teaching that has to do with you as a leader, and it is a requirement that you become a leader. But as a leader, you have responsibilities. Do you want me to tell you who my worst nightmares are in this thing that we do here, discipleship? It is wives, husbands, mothers, and fathers. Because they really love their children. They think that by just hedging for them all their lives, that they're helping them. You are making the biggest mistake in your life. You need to let God at your children. You need to let God at your husband and your wife. And you need to get out of His way so He can do His work. Amen? You are not helping your child by enabling them to be in sin. I am telling you, I believe this in all my heart, more than anything. I read Job. How many people have ever read Job? The only thing I ever seen that Job did wrong was he knew his kids were partying and living in sin. And he went out and made sacrifice unto God for them. And you know what happened is every one of them children lost their lives. Amen? You need to, no matter who it is, hold up the standard of God. Why? So that God will allow them to go out and have their flesh destroyed in order that the spirit that belongs to God will live. Is this a tough teaching? Absolutely. Is it hard to choke on? Of course, because it affects everybody in this room. It doesn't miss anybody. Everybody has a friend, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a daughter, whatever, that's been involved in these things. Everybody! It is the most common sin known to man. It is the most common sin in the church today. And I'm here to tell you, if we can't help them to bring correction into this area of their life, they are going to have problems that may in the end lead to their very demise. Today, I'm going to go out and the guy wanted me to marry him. I told him, of course not, no way. Him and this girl both were in my discipleship. Amen? And I found out they were hanging together, and I walked up and I threw both of them out. 3 years later, 4 years later, they're finally getting married. I'm going to go be the best man. Amen? It's not that I never didn't love them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's because I love them, I do the things I do. If you say you love somebody, how come you stand by and let them stay on the path that'll take them to the pit of hell? How can you justify that? You see, the fact is, you need to quit being a wimp. And you need to become somebody that not just talks it, but is a man and a woman of God. Are you hearing me? All people are required to become leaders. Some of one. Some of ten. Some of a thousand. But a leader acts according to biblical principles and does not live their life according to their emotions. Are you hearing me today? This is the biggest sin in the church today. It's not murdering. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not even violence. It is sexual promiscuity. And you know what, people? The Word of God is always true. The Bible says that those who live a lifestyle of sin are not going to make it into the kingdom of God. How can you justify watching your brothers and sisters that are living in sin go about that kind of stuff and never say nothing to them at all? How can you say you love them? You don't care if they go to heaven or hell? Please don't love me like that. Amen? Love me with the truth so that I might see the truth and live by the truth. Father, I love you, God. And let it be today that each person in this place gets a hold of this. And Lord, they not only get a hold of it, but they live by it. That they learn to be a leader, not just with their lips, but with their very life in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.